We continue our study in Ephesians chapter 1. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going through the prayer that Paul prayed for the brothers and sisters in Christ that would read this letter as it was circulated through the community. And we're all the way up to verse 19. And so we looked at this prayer. First of all, Paul never ceases to pray. And then we're told that he also prays that we would have the knowledge of God, that our hearts would be enlightened, and that we would have a deep understanding of God. And so now let's look at verse 19 of Ephesians 1. As Paul continues to pray for us, let's see what else is in this prayer. But before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you because of your love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us day in and day out. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things are added to us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, as we continue worshiping you now through the teaching of your word, I pray that you'll keep the evil one from us, that you'll help us focus on your word, and as the Holy Spirit teaches us, give us understanding of this passage of Scripture and how we should be praying to you and for one another in our daily walk with you. I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and encouraged. And Lord, I pray for those here today who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would bring them to yourself. Free them from that bondage of sin and death through Jesus Christ alone. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's Word in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's focus on verse 19 this morning. And this centers on power. And there are various words that Paul has used for power in this verse. And we're going to look very carefully at them. Now, there are some theologians who say that there's not that much difference in these words and what they mean. And their truth, that is correct. They're synonyms. And it's just stressing the immense power of God. But as you look at these individual words, there is a slight difference in each word. And I think it's a difference that is important for us, and I want to share this with you today. So, first of all, let's look at the first phrase in verse 19. And this is a prayer now. This is how we need to be praying for one another. And in verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? The immeasurable greatness of His power. Now, immeasurable greatness, that can be translated super, overabundance, more than you and I can ever imagine. And it also means intense, intense, very intense. When Mary Ellen and I came back from seminary and the Lord provided a house for us in Crestwood, we gutted it and remodeled it. And there was an electric stove in it, we needed to take the cap off of it and put a new one on because it was cracked. And some of you remember ruling elder Buddy Johnson, Buddy's electrician, and he was working with me. I said, "Buddy, how do you get this cover off this this thing?" And he said, "Well, you did pull all the fuses, didn't you?" And I said, "Sure, I did." He said, "Well, just stick it in there and take the screw out." So I stuck the screwdriver in there and I pulled the screw out and I reached over and I grabbed that plastic cover, and the last thing I remember was pulling it up. And I heard this, and this ball of fire came at me. When I came to, I was 180 around on all fours. Buddy was patting me on the back saying, "Richard, are you okay?" And I said, "I think so, I'm breathing." He said, "I thought you said you got all the fuses." I said, "I got all the ones I found." There was another box outside. 220 was in that one. The power that came at me was unreal. I don't know. God moved me fast enough to get me out of the way. I could have been electrocuted. I'll never forget the power in that 220. That's nothing compared to the power of God. This power of God is awesome. It's immense. It is intense. And you and I have it. Now, let's go on and look at another word. The word power. This word power means possession of controlling influence. Possession of controlling influence. This is God's power toward you and me. He possesses the ability to influence us. We are not puppets on a string where God pulls the string and you and I go in that direction or do what He's saying. Because He's given to us in Christ. In Christ, you and I have a free will. We have the will to obey God. We have the will to disobey God. Only Christians have a free will. The non-believer is spiritually dead in rebellion against God and does not have the ability to obey God. So they're always in rebellion against God. They do not have a free will. But those of us in Christ do. And Christ and the Lord, by the Holy Spirit residing in us, whispers in our ears by the Spirit, impresses our mind and our hearts. "Don't do that. Do this. Don't desire that. Don't say that. Don't go there." He has told us what He desires us to be and to do. The question is, am I going to obey Him? Am I going to obey Him? And that power that God has is there moving us in the direction that we're supposed to go. So that's the power. And look at the word toward us. Now, the Greek preposition there is more directive than the word, our English word, toward. You know, I can throw a ball in there toward those people, those brothers and sisters in there, and I can try to throw it to one particular individual, but my arm, like it is, I might not get it in that direction. I can go in that general direction. The preposition to is what it really translates, and it actually translates into that God directs His power directly into each one of His children. It's not a one size fits all. When He needs to work in you and me by this power, He can zap you. He can put that power directly into you and not hit anyone else with it. He can put the power into each individual. So when you think about this power, that power is specifically for you to influence you and to direct you and me. And when you and I pray, Lord, give me the ability, give me the power, give me the strength, that's what we're praying for. That's what we're asking for, is that power, that immense and intense power of God to come right into us and influence us. That's what you and I have. Now, look at the next word, who believe. Who believe. That's a participle, and it's very significant because it means a faith that is alive, a living faith, a faith that's real and influences us. It's an active faith. It's a faith that you and I live by on a daily basis. And we see and sense the presence of God with us, and God working in us, and God working through us. And it's His power in you and in me that's enabling us to live our lives on a daily basis. And when we find our lives so stressed out and so worried and so consumed about the things of life, and we keep living and moving on, we do it by His power. That's how we make it. Because we can't make it without it. And it's important that we acknowledge that this is God's power in me, because I don't have the ability to take a half step, let alone a full one. The power of God in us. Now, Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you and I are given the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 23, one particular fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. And that word self-control means to has the ability to have control over one's desires. The ability to have control over one's desires. Now, when you take that word self-control and you put this word power with it, it means the ability to be self-disciplined. How self-disciplined are you and I? When you and I have the desire to give somebody a piece of our mind, and the Spirit of God has got that intense power going on in us saying, don't do that, don't do that. And we do it anyway. Did we overcome that power? No, we ignored it. We operated in the power of the flesh instead of in the power of the Spirit of God that gives us the ability, that makes that sin and this self-centeredness we have worse than it really is. Because we ignore God, we ignore His power and the ability to actually move forward. So that compounds that sin that we are accountable for, whatever it might be in this rebellious heart of ours. That's the immeasurable greatness of His power. The immeasurable greatness of His power. Now, let's go to the next phrase in there, and that is, according to those of us who believe, who have the active faith, we're living by faith on a daily basis, according to the working of His great might. Now we need to look at the word working. The Greek word is energia. It's the word that means we get our word energy. And that word, placed in the context of Scripture and in the context of believers, it's divine energy. It's the same energy, and we're going to look at this in verse 20, and the word power is the same thing. It's the same power and energy that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That power is available to you and me, and it works in us. The energy that you and I have to live through the day, to get through the day. You know, a lot of times at 3:30 of an afternoon, my energy level is about shot. That's the physical energy. That's the mental energy. But the spiritual energy to continue on is always there. And so it's the spiritual energy, divine energy, godly energy in us that's enabling us to live our lives. And notice this energy is great. The word great there means to power and to govern. It means you and I have the energy within us to govern our own lives. And to govern our lives in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God, because we have His Word. We are without excuse, brothers and sisters. Whenever we sin, regardless of what the sin is, we are totally without excuse, because we truly know better and we have the power not to go in that direction, but we do it anyway. That's just pure, outright rebellion against God. We have that ability to overcome. We have great might. That's the ability to do something or to get something accomplished. Not only do we have this great power in us that works in us and motivates us, but we have the ability to produce. We have the ability to obey God. It's right there with us. And that's what we need to be praying for one another. The church needs to be the church of Jesus Christ today, not some denomination. And not to be politically correct. We need to stand on the Word of God and live it in our neighborhoods and out in the community. But we've turned the pastor into a professional and he does all the work. Look how much all of you can do and how much I can do. That's not biblical. We all need to be living with this might and this power. And people need to see it in us. And they can, if we will let it reside in us. This great might, this ability to do something and get something done. Now let me just pause here to say this. Those of us who are addicted to be manipulative, controlling, and undermining. That's not acceptable. Controlling people and manipulating people. No, this is power in us to do what God wants us to do. And to be obedient to Him. This doesn't give us biblical grounds to control people. That's a sin. Now, let's go on. We've got this power. We've got this ability. How do I experience it? What is it that I can do and see in my own life that I know this is the power of God in me? Let's look at this. Let's say in the book of Ephesians, go to chapter 2. And you were dead in which the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. The first instance that you and I experience the power of God is when God gives us spiritual life. We're spiritually dead. And dead people can't get better, okay? You're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead people cannot get better. It's the God's grace working in them that brings them from spiritual deadness to spiritual life. Go to verses 4 and 5 in chapter 2 of Ephesians. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. Brothers and sisters, that's the first experience of the power of God in any person's life, is when they come from spiritual death to spiritual life. Look at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And none of us can boast about being spiritually alive. Only we boast in Christ. That's the only way. So that's where you begin. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have this power. You don't have this ability. You can't accomplish anything spiritually. You must come to Jesus Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. Now, what's another way? Turn to Philippians chapter 4, the next book over from Ephesians. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Paul writing to the believers at Philippi, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul has just described life, has he not? We've all been there. There are times we haven't had a whole lot. There are times we've had some. And it just goes from there. And Paul is saying, I've learned how to handle life. It doesn't matter what comes my way. How does he handle it? Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now let's look at this, because we quote this verse an awful lot. And it's true. It's true. But what does it mean? First of all things is the first phrase in the sentence in Greek. So all things gets the emphasis. It means each thing that I encounter in life, I'm going to be able to handle it. How about you? What are you and I going through in our lives today, right now, that you feel overwhelmed? That you wonder, why is God doing this to me? Why is my life going like it's going now? How are you going to handle it? How am I going to handle it? All things I can do. I can do. It means to have the strength to do whatever is necessary. When I was in Thailand, we would ask, going to a merchant and say, hey, can you do this? I do things, cop. I do things, which means you name it, I'll get it done. And that's what this is saying. All things I can do. Whatever in the providence of God He puts in my path, because He set the race for me to follow, He will also give me the strength to make this race. And it might be killing me. I might not like it. It's not about liking it. It's about life and dealing with what God brings into your life and my life. How am I going to handle it? Am I going to handle it with the power of God that is immeasurable and great? Or am I going to try to tweak it and change it? Which I can't, and neither can you. So that means, as a believer in Christ, I have to work through it the best way I can with the strength God gives me. So all things I can do, look at the last phrase, through Him who strengthens me. He gives me the ability to handle it, to work through it. Now, jot this down. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. Y'all don't read Romans 8, 28 by itself anymore. You're not getting the thrust of the passage. Read verses 26 through 29. 26 and 27 has to do with prayer. Fervent prayer. Going before the throne of grace. 28 gives you the results of that fervent prayer. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's what's going to happen when we pray and we ask God for this power and this strength and this might. And then verse 29 tells us what God's doing. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. You have to read 26 through 29 to understand that. And go on through the end of the chapter. It's an awesome chapter. It's always through Christ. It's never about me. It's never about you. It's always about Christ and what He's doing in your life. I've had the privilege in the last year to teach the book of Ecclesiastes. And if I was starting a ministry over again, the first book I would teach would be Ecclesiastes. It is an awesome book. And I have learned so much about the Lord and about life studying the book of Ecclesiastes. It is powerful. Right now, the men's Bible study, we're going through it and we're burning it up. We cover a verse or two a Thursday. We're up to chapter 7. It's powerful. And brothers who are hearing in that study, you know what I'm talking about. It is powerful. And it's all about Christ and the walk with the Lord. And that's what this is all about. It's always through Christ that we get that strength. And He enables us to do it. Whatever it is. So that's spiritual death to spiritual life. And then as we walk through life on a daily basis, whatever God in His providence brings into our lives, He gives us the strength to deal with it, to live with it, and to work through it. And then 1 Corinthians 10:13. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Temptation. You got to look at the word temptation. This is not God tempting you. This is Satan tempting us. Because the word means to tempt, to prove a fault or a weakness. It's a test to fail. It's a test to make you fail. I've only done this one time in all my time of teaching at Jeff State at the seminary because I got very frustrated with a class. It was at Jeff State. and they were not taking their studies seriously. So it was test time. And I made a test that no one could pass. And no one passed it. The whole class failed. I gave out the papers after grading them, and the whole class fell into a pit of despair. And I said, now what are you going to do? You going to study? You going to take this course seriously? Somehow or another, I managed to get their attention. And after that, they did fine. Satan's whole purpose in life is to defeat us, to discourage us, to keep us confused. He's the author of confusion. To pit people one against another in the church. We better be aware of that. We better be real aware of that. Just a little drop of water in a bucket of water causes ripples. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to cause divisions and confusion and misunderstandings. That's temptation. And Paul is saying here, no temptation has overtaken you. The word overtake means to grab hold of and not let go. And this is what Satan wants to do, is grab hold of a believer, grab hold of the church, and get in a state of mind that they just can't seem to get out of it. The next phrase is just awesome. God is faithful. You and I can depend on God. He's always there. He has the answers. He has the strength we need. He has the wisdom. He enlightens our hearts in the first part of this prayer. God has everything we need. We just need to turn to Him. He's always there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So just turn to Him. And notice what He'll do when we turn to Him. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. The word tempted there is the same word, and it also has a connotation of being led into temptation. God will stop it. God will put an end to it. And I don't know how He'll do it, but He says He will. I would imagine by His wisdom that He gives to us, by the power and the might and the strength that He gives to us, He will enable us to say no. I am not going there. I am not going to be a party to that. I will not. And I won't. He will not let you be tempted above your ability. And where does our ability come from? It comes from the power, the might, and the strength that Paul is telling us. You better pray for one another for this because you're going to need it. He will provide a way of escape. Look at that. He will provide. He will give you a way of escape. Now, the word escape means to get out, get away. The word actually means to go through. He will provide a way for you to go on through life, to deal with this temptation, and you will pass through it and you will move beyond it. The trouble is we let our flesh kick in and our desires and our self-centeredness, and you mix some other things, emotions in there, and we live in it for a while until God literally slaps us upside the head and says, do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize what's going on in your heart and in your mind and your desires and your thoughts? That's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. And He'll do that. He will provide a way to escape. Why? That you may be able to endure it. That going through that, you will be able to bear up under whatever stress and pressure and anxiety and worry that's weighing you down and causing us to not get out of the temptation or not calling on God for the power and the might and the strength to get through it. But when we turn to Him, He gives us that what we need immediately, and then we pass through it. That's seeing the power, the might, and the strength of God in your life and in mine on a daily basis. And let me tell you something, I'm living it, and it's hard. It is hard. I preach this more to me than you. Turn to the Lord. That's the answer for everything a believer has facing. Turn to the Lord. He's the only one to help you understand. He's the only one that can get you through it. No one else can. No one. We're here as a body of Christ, the fellowship of believers, to do what? To worship the true and living God and to honor Him every Lord's day, and then to pray for one another daily and pray this prayer. What a powerful prayer to pray. That you and I would have the strength, the power, and the might. And not only have it, but live it and experience it on a daily basis. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, if we think we're going to make it on our own and play footsie with God every Sunday when you come in here, that ain't going to work. It's got to be a commitment and a walk 24/7. Are we there? Are we living it? Is the Bible nothing but stained glass window words that we use and we like to talk about, but we're not that committed to? It's got to be commitment. It's got to be real. And when it is, you'll experience the power. God's 220 will hit you and you'll know, wow, I got it now. I got it. And you know what? Once you get that, you don't want to turn it loose. And He won't turn you loose either. He will not. He'll hang on to you till you see Him face to face. And I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you? Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, thank You for what You've instructed us from Your Word today. You've spoken to our hearts by Your Holy Spirit very clearly and very powerfully. And so, Father, enable us to respond to You with this power and this might and this strength that You've given to us. May we respond to You in a positive way. And may we walk in the Spirit and in Your power and strength and might, so we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Father, move in our hearts as we sing this closing hymn to respond in obedience to You. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord has spoken to each and every one of us. As we stand and sing this hymn, you respond to His call in your life. Shall we stand? to the front page of your bulletin. Let's read this phrase together, that it would be on our hearts and minds, and we will meditate on it and what it means. Let us read this together. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.